I want to get my subject from down there in verse 14. Or the title of my message. We are made partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast unto the end. I want to talk about the beginning of our confidence. Our confidence. I'll tell you the first thing that we don't have confidence in. We have no confidence in our flesh. That's one thing we don't have any confidence in. None whatsoever. I don't have none in mine, yours, or anybody else's. But that's not what he's talking about. Hold fast the beginning of our confidence. You know, the apostle puts himself in the same footing and in the same condition and in need of the same things and lays upon himself the same warnings as he gives the saints here. That's the difference between people who know the grace of God and people who preach to people and preach down to people. We understand that he understood himself, and we all understand that we're all cut from the same cloth, that the only difference that makes us from anybody else is the grace of God. That's the only thing. And that's why Paul, when he puts himself in the same place and same position as us, and he starts out about our profession. In verse 1, he says this, "Wherefore, holy brethren," and here's another thing, "you partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest of our profession." He looks about, he calls it our profession. And profession here means the same word as confession. What we confess about our Lord Jesus Christ. We consider him, and as we consider him, this was some confessions we make about him. We confess him to be everything that we need and everything that we want. We confess him to be everything that he says he is. And then he talks about that we are the house of Christ. God built all things. God built this world. God built everything in it. Now, nothing happens in this world without God sending it. If I get sick, God is the one that sent the sickness. If I get well, God sends the health. If I'm in the right mind, God gave it to me. If I ended up with dementia, God sent it. That's what I'm telling you. God is the one that rules and reigns in this world, and I'm thankful for that. Amen. Things don't just happen. I'm not an object of bad luck. I'm not an object of fate. I'm not an object of destiny. I'm not an object of bad luck, good luck, or any other thing. I'm an object of God's grace. I'm an object of God's people. I'm an object that God by his grace saved, and I bless his holy name that what he calls in this world to happen, I bless his name that it happened. Huh? And oh, listen, he goes on here to say, and he built a house. God built all things. And he says, and so God built a house. What house did he build? Us. His people. Christ is a son over his own house, his people, his generation, is what he's talking about. And then he says here in verse 14, "For we," see, he calls himself we, our profession, house, whose house we are. So he puts himself on the same footing as we are. And he gives us a great warning and admonition, then comes right back with some comfort. He says, if we are made partakers of Christ, we are made partakers of Christ. If. Now that word if, I want to tell you something about this word if here. This word if here is not a word of uncertainty in this position. Now if you hold out, if you endure, whatever, you know, if, it's not a if of uncertainty like you might not do it. It's an if of responsibility. This is a warning. This is a responsibility that we have. If we hold, we're made partakers of Christ if our responsibility, if we look to Christ, if hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast to the end. Now he's talking about a confidence and a beginning of a confidence. You know, our Lord Jesus Christ in John 6, It says there that there was a whole multitude of people walked with him. And then many turned and walked away when he said, I told you that no man can come unto me except my Father which sent, draw him. They said, this is a hard saying. Who can hear it? And they turned and walked away from him. And he looked at the 12 and he said, are you going to go too? Now I'll tell you something Peter did not say. He did not say, where are we going to go? How are we going to go? When are we going to go? Why? But he says, to whom shall we go? To whom shall we go? You're the one that's got the words of eternal life. And that's what our Lord, that's what I'm saying right here. That's what we do. We're just like Peter. We don't ask why, we don't ask when, we don't ask how. We don't ask, all we say is, Lord, who in the world are we going to go to? Who are we going to go to? Who did we go to yesterday? Who are we going to go to today? Who are we going to go to tomorrow? Who are we going to go to tonight? To whom are we going to go? And that's what the apostle's saying here. Hold fast your beginning of your confidence, steadfast to the end. And the gospel, I tell you something, the gospel separates people. The gospel separates people. The gospel separates those, the believers, from those who are disciples only in name. And that multitude were disciples only in name. And I've said this time and time and time again, I do not want to miss Christ. I can miss a lot of things in this world. I can miss my mind, I can miss my health, I can miss a lost family member, I can miss you. But oh my soul, don't let me miss Christ. Don't let me miss the Son of God. Let me miss anything else in this world, but don't let me miss Christ. I want to know Christ. And that's what the apostles exhorting us to do here. And he says, hold the beginning of your confidence, the beginning. And that's what I want to talk about, the beginning of our confidence. Who's he talking to here to hold the beginning of the confidence? Those who are made partakers of Christ. This says automatically, it tells us who he's talking to, those that are made partakers of Christ. Now what does it mean to be a partaker with Christ? Back up in verse 1 says we are partakers of the heavenly calling. So these people are already made partakers with Christ. What does it mean to be a partaker with Christ? Well, it means to be all that he is, all that he did, we are. Everything our Lord Jesus Christ is, we are. He's holy, we're holy. He's righteous, he's our righteousness. Everything that he is, we're partakers of the heavenly calling. There's nowhere in the world that we can even know Christ and be a partaker of Christ had not God gave us a heavenly calling. And I'll tell you, consider what we're partakers of him with. Now look back over here in verse 11 of chapter 2. Look back over here in chapter 11, verse 2, chapter 2, verse 11. Listen to this now. If you're talking about partakers with Christ, for both he that sanctifies, Christ is the only one that can sanctify. Nobody else can sanctify you. And that word sanctified means separated and made holy, separated, set apart. And then he goes on to say, for they and they who are sanctified. And I tell you what, they who are sanctified, Christ got sanctified, and Christ is the one, he sanctifies certain people. And he that sanctifies and they are sanctified, listen to this, are all of one. they're the same person. They're all of one. He's the sanctifier, and who he sanctifies, he said they're just like this. Just one. They're all of one. And look what he goes on to say. For which cause, since we're one, he's not ashamed to call us brethren. So what I'm telling you is this. When our Lord Jesus Christ lived in this world, we lived in him. Everything about Christ, I mean, when he lived in this world, we lived in him. And I'll tell you what, when our Lord Jesus Christ died, the scriptures tells us we died with him. And it says when he arose, we arose with him. Look in Ephesians 2. I'll tell you, this is the best way to say it right here. In Ephesians 2. You know, he's the head of the body. It says that we are members of his body. Bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh. But this is what the scriptures teaches us here. We're partakers with him. Everything he did, we partook of it. And look what it says here. But in verse 4, look what it says. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us. Listen to this now. Even, he loved us even when we were dead in sins. Listen to this. Quickened us together with Christ. Gave us life together with Christ. Now, when did he give us life together with Christ? I didn't even exist when Christ died. But yet God tells me that because Christ was raised from the dead and quickened, and our Lord Jesus Christ said, I was quickened with him. I was given life with him. And then he puts it with it. You know how I done it? By grace. You know why I done it? Because of grace. Now listen to this now. And listen to this. And then raised us up together. Made us sit together in heavenly places. So you see, he said, we're all one. And that's what I'm talking about. No wonder Paul said, I glory in the cross by whom the world was crucified unto me and I'm crucified unto the world. Christ was crucified, I was crucified with him, and the world was crucified to me. And that's why it says, everything we're made partakers of him. And I tell you, how in the world can a man be holy if he's not in Christ? And then not only were we made partakers with Christ, that what he did, we did. What he accomplished for us, and we accomplished it with him. And he's the head of the body. We're bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh. And then we're partakers of his nature, partakers of his spirit. Partakers of his spirit. We're partakers of his nature, partaker of his graces, partaker of his righteousness. Do you know what Jeremiah 23:6 says? Jehovah Tsidkenu, the Lord our righteousness. Is Christ righteous? Well, I am too. Now, I'll tell you what, in this, Scott used to say this, it's not a pasted on righteousness. It's not something that God decided, well, I'm going to come here, I'm going to go to him, make him a righteous person. What it is, beloved, that God in his person, God in his blessed person, the Lord Jesus Christ, his Son, our Lord Jesus Christ is righteous and he established righteousness in this earth. And then the scripture says that he himself is our righteousness. Now there's people that say there's imputed righteousness and imparted righteousness. As far as the Bible is concerned, there's only one righteousness, and that's the righteousness of Christ. I'm not going to face God because I've got a nature of righteousness. I'm going to face God in the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ and him alone. Amen. I ain't got no righteousness but his. And I'm telling you what, when you look at him, you think that he was just on a paste on righteousness? He is righteous. He is righteous, was righteous, and always has been righteous. And everybody that he chose in him, they're righteous as he is. Ain't that right? Yes. And I tell you, he says, if anybody be in Christ, what is he? He's a new creation. He's a new creation. God brought into existence someone who never existed before. He brought into existence the nature of Christ in us. We're made partakers of the divine nature. And our Lord said it like this. He said, I am the true vine. There ain't no other vine in this world but Christ. Yeah. Amen. He's the true vine. Yeah. And he said, he that beareth not fruit, the Father taketh him away. Takes him away. But he says, he that abideth in me and I am him, He shall bring forth much fruit. And he says this, so you abide in the vine, and the vine will abide in you. And he said this, he said, without me, you can do nothing. Amen. Anybody know what nothing is? Whatever it is, that's what he's talking about. Oh my. You see, beloved, he's the high priest of our profession. He's the high priest of our confession. Oh my. He's the high priest of our confession. And in the creation, when God made this world and he created this world and said he built all things, when he created this world, you know what the first thing that happened? He created light. The first thing he said, let there be light. And in the new creation, when this new creation, you know what the first thing happens is? As the light shined out of darkness, God has shined into our hearts. The first thing he comes on is he turns on the light. And you don't even know you're in darkness till he turns on the light. You say, boy, it was really dark in here, wasn't it? My mind was dark. My heart was dark. I lived in darkness. And God turns on the light and the darkness gone. Huh? Oh, I tell you, he turns on that light. You remember, how many times have people said that? Said, boy, I never saw that before. You know what happened? God turned on the light. Oh, my. And we're made partakers of Christ by a supernatural act of God. I believe that. I tell you, everything God does for us is supernatural. It just cannot be. I mean, you're talking about giving a dead man life. Now, we know that living people die. But dead people don't come to life. If God gives you life, you do. You're dead in trespasses and sin, and the dead man can't hear, can't see, can't feel, nor can respond to anything until God said, Lazarus, come forth. And when God says, come forth, believe me, you're coming forth. Huh? He says, seek ye my face. Lord, my face I'm going to seek. He said, in the day of my power, I'm going to make them willing. I tell you what, bless his name, he made us willing. Huh? And oh my. We're made partakers of Christ by a supernatural act of God. Oh my. He teaches us of his Son. John 6:45 said, as it is written in the prophets, they, who are they? All thy children. All thy children shall be taught of God. And he that hath heard, that's the first thing you do, you hear. He that hath heard and learned, and the Father taught him, you know what happens? Our Lord said, he comes to me. He comes to me. If you come to Christ, you know why? God taught you. You heard his voice. God taught you. Huh? Oh, we ask, what think you of Christ? Somebody asked you, say, what do you think of Christ? You know, there's only one answer we can give. His all. Yeah. Capital A, capital L, capital L. His all. Huh? We all say, he's all I want. I don't want nothing else. He says, he's all I need. We say, he's all I desire. We say, he's all my righteousness. He's all my salvation. He's my Savior. He's my Lord. He's my King. He's my Redeemer. He's my Mediator. He's the one between me and God. He's the one that put away my sin. He is everything. He is our life. A fellow wrote to me here a while back and he said, I hope God's still number one in your life. I wrote him back and I said, God ain't never been number one in my life. God is my life. That's the difference between religion and a Calvinist and somebody who knows Christ. They say, well, you need to make Christ number one in your life. You need to make Christ your priority in life. When the Bible teaches us and the grace of God teaches us that He is our life. Take Christ out of religion, take Christ out of salvation, take Christ out of the Bible, and you ain't got nothing. But if you have Christ, you got everything God could possibly give you in this world and in the world to come. God gave His, there's nothing God could give you more than giving you His Son. When you have His Son, you got everything that God has for you. God requires certain things. He requires righteousness. We didn't have it. He requires death for sin. We couldn't die. But our Lord Jesus Christ, He, God sent Him. He said, I demand righteousness, I'll give you righteousness. I demand punishment and death for your sins, I'll punish you and cause you to die for your sins in my blessed Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Huh? What more can He give to us than His Son? What more can He give to us than what He's given us in the Lord Jesus Christ? What more can He give us? What else can you have? Oh my. And I'll tell you something else. We're made partakers by faith. We're made partakers by faith. Look in 2 Timothy 1. 2 Timothy 1. You know, we're made partakers by faith. He's the high priest. We confess Christ to be everything. God made a supernatural act. It's a heavenly calling. Oh, my. You think about this. You're talking about supernatural act. Not only does God save us, but here's one of the greatest miracles that you could. It takes supernatural power, supernatural act of God, that God keeps us all day, every day. Now that's supernatural. With everything that's wrong with us, with all as frail as we are, as weak as we are, it's like Arthur W. Pink said one time. He said it's like a fire burning right out in the middle of the ocean. He said, how can that fire burn? God caused it to burn. And that's the same way it is with us, to keep us day in and day out, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, all the days of our life. That's a supernatural act of God. Oh my. But look what it says here in verse 12. Let's see, am I in the right place here? 2 Timothy 1. Yeah. We're made partakers of Christ by faith. Look what it says. Verse 12. For the which cause I also suffer these things, because I'm appointed a preacher, an apostle, a teacher. For I know, I'm not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed. And oh my, and am persuaded that He is able to keep that which I've committed unto Him against that day. And that word committed means I put it in trust. I trust Him with it. I trust Him with it. And Paul said it in Galatians 2:20, I'm crucified with Christ, but nevertheless I live. Yet I live, not by my faith, but he said I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave Himself for me. Huh? Oh my. You see what faith does? Faith reaches out to Christ. Christ is outside of us. Our salvation's outside of us. Everything that took place, God did it. And it's outside of us. And I tell you what, faith looks to the Lord Jesus Christ. Faith is like that woman who said, if I can but touch the hem of His garment, And that's all we want to do. If we can just touch the hem of His garment, we're made whole. And I tell you, faith unites us to Him, joins us to Him. No one's in Christ by temporary faith. When I was in the military back years ago, you would not believe how many people make promises to God. How many people make promises to God? How many people today are going to make promises to God? And this is how they do it. Lord, if you'll get me out of this mess, if you let me go home, if you'll get me out of jail, if you'll save my marriage, if you'll make me healthy, then Lord, I'll serve you. Huh? But nobody's in Christ. But if there's anything, that any faith that's born in the storm, when the storm passes, it'll get out of the cellar. And I tell you, nobody's in Christ by a false faith, or nobody's in Christ by a secondhand faith. And true faith, you know where it comes from? It comes from God. No man can receive nothing except it be given him from heaven. For by grace are you saved. And that's not of yourself. For by grace through faith are you saved. And that's not of yourself. Grace is not of yourself and faith is not of yourself. It is the gift of God. People tell you all the time, exercise your faith. I tell you one thing, I can exercise my arms, I can exercise my lungs, I can exercise my legs, I can even exercise my brain sometimes. Not very often, but I can. But I know this, I ain't got no faith to exercise. God gives it to you, and God sustains it. Huh? I believe that. Huh? How many times has your faith failed you? Oh my. Well, then we're made partakers of Christ. That's my first thing. Here's my second question. What was the beginning of our confidence? He said back over here in Hebrews 3. Hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast to the end. What was the beginning of our confidence? Well, it wasn't in us, that's for sure. Now I want you to remember with me. You remember when you first believed, how strong your faith was. Oh, when you first believed, your faith was so strong. Oh, it was so strong. And you thought to yourself, how could I ever doubt God? How could I ever do it? Well, let's go back to the beginning. What were we confident of more than anything else when we came to Christ? I was confident of this, that I was a sinner. I mean, I was a genuine, bona fide, certified sinner. I know that. I was like Mephibosheth when David said, fetch him, bring him over here. And Mephibosheth bowed down before David and said, oh Lord, oh King, how could you look upon such a dead dog as I am? And that's the way I felt when I was before God with all my sin and darkness and wretchedness. Oh God, how could you look on such a dead dog as I am? I got no claim on you. You don't owe me absolutely nothing. I've lived and I've used your name in vain. I've done the awfulest things that anybody could ever imagine. Lord, you don't owe me nothing. But if you would you please show me mercy? I was like that publican. Oh, God, be merciful to me, the sinner. And you know what I still do? I still say, God, please be merciful to me. Oh, my. How did we become sinners? How did we become sinners? Huh? How did our righteousness all the things that we thought. How did our righteousnesses become as filthy rags? What happened that made everything that we was trusting in, looking to and believing on, what made them as filthy rags one day? Huh? Oh my, a sinner's a sacred thing. The Holy Ghost hath made him so. Oh my, that publican wouldn't even lift up his eyes to heaven. And he said, oh God, be merciful to me, the sinner. David says this, Lord, it's against you that I sinned and done this evil in your sight. And Lord, according to your tender mercies and loving kindness, please forgive me. Please have mercy on me. Oh my. And I tell you something. I tell you something right now. And I know that we have the righteousness of Christ. I know I stand complete in Christ. I know Christ my wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. But also at the same time, I know that I'm a sinner and I'm in need of a Savior right now. Right this minute. Right now. Not just a little while. Not tomorrow. Right now. I'm such a frail, fickle, weak person that if God don't save me, I won't be saved. And that's why the older I get, it seems the more sinful I feel. And the more I feel my necessity of the Lord Jesus Christ. I didn't want to come here today without Christ. I don't want to go anywhere without Him. Huh? Oh my. Let me show you this in Matthew 9. Look over with me in Matthew 9. Look in Matthew 9 with me. Not only are we confident that we were sinners, and I still am. Oh. People say you ought to get better as you get older. Well. How many times during the day, there's young people here and there's older people here, but how many times in a day or in a night time when you wake up do you say, Lord, have mercy on me? How many times in a day, how many times during the night do you say, Lord, have mercy? Lord, give me grace. Huh? How many times a day do we do that? No, and I'll tell you what, not only were we confident we were sinners, we were confident in our Lord's ability to save us and keep us. Look what it said here in verse 27, Matthew 9:27. And when Jesus departed from there, where we was, just raised a little maid, a 12-year-old daughter, up Jairus' daughter from the dead. And when Jesus departed from there, two blind men followed him, crying and saying, Thou son of David, have mercy on us. Oh, you son of David, have mercy on us. And when he was come into the house, the blind men came to him. Now listen to this. And Jesus saith unto them, Believe ye that I'm able to do this? Do you believe that I'm able? Do you believe I've got the ability? Do you believe I've got the power? Do you believe I can do this for you? What's what they said? They said unto him, Yea, Lord, I believe you're able. Ain't that what we say, James? Yea, Lord. You believe I'm able to do this? Yea, Lord. Believe I'm able to keep you? Yea, Lord. You believe I can save you? Yea, Lord. You believe I can uphold you? Yea, Lord. You believe my blood washed away sin? Yea, Lord. You believe my righteousness is sufficient? Yea, Lord. Everything that happens, we say, Yea, Lord. Huh? When I got sick, I said, Yea, Lord. What are you going to say? Oh. is our situation. Oh, I believe he's able. We were lost, but he came and found us. We were lost sheep. The shepherd came and found us. We were dead, and he came and gave us life. We were enemies. He reconciled us. We were blind. He gave us sight. We were lepers, and he cleansed us. Oh, what was your beginning of your confidence? What was the beginning of your confidence? And I tell you, here's the third thing we were confident of. We were confident that we love God's people. Oh, we're so confident we love God's people. When God saved us and brought us among His saints, among His people, we realized and learned that they're the finest people on the face of this earth. There ain't nobody like them. There's nobody like the Lord's people. Nobody like them. And all, when we first, this is the confidence we have, that the believers, when I first, they were lights to us. They're lights to me. In this old dark world, they're a light to me. Are they a light to you? When you think of them, they just light you up. The world just ceases to be as dark as it is when you think about the Lord's people. You think about certain people and the darkness just dispels because they're light. They're light to you. And then they're salt of the earth. They keep this old world from being rotten as it is. You know why? You look at them, you think about them, and say, oh boy, this world's not near as rotten as I thought it was. Look at all these dear people that I know and love. Huh? They keep it from being rotten to us, corrupt to us. Oh my. And we enjoy their company more than all others in this world. Oh, how we enjoy their company. Huh? And I'll tell you something. They all know more. They all understand more. They all love more than you could possibly ever do or be. And you were the least among them, but it didn't matter just so long as you could be among them. Just let me be among you. Just let me be one with you. Huh? Oh, there's nobody like them. Nobody like them. And I tell you, here's another thing we're confident of. Fourth thing we're confident of. We were confident of our calling. We're confident that we were called from death to life, from darkness to light. And how do you know you're called? God gives you an ear to hear. My sheep hear my voice. My sheep hear my voice. And He calls them. He calls us to Himself. And He calls it a heavenly calling. God's in heaven. And He calls us from heaven. And I'll tell you something. He calls us to. He always calls us to trust His Son. To believe His Son. Look to His Son. And here's the fifth thing we're confident of. That we would never, ever go back. We're like Jephthah. Jephthah lifted his hand. In Judges 11:35, he lifted his hand and says, I cannot. I have lifted my hand to the Lord, and I cannot go back. I cannot go back. Can you quit? Can you go back? What are you going back to? What would you go back to? Go back to sin? Go back to a dog swallowing his vomit? Going back to a hog wallowing in a mire? Go back to death? Go back to darkness? Go back to hopelessness? Go back to your righteousness? Go back where? We cannot go back. Where in the world would we go? Where would we go if we went back? Back to what? Oh, that's what destroyed. This idea that somebody can just leave Christ, leave your life, leave your righteousness, leave everything you got to go back to nothing. Oh, my. And we're confident of this, and we're confident because of God's eternal love. God said, I loved you with an everlasting love, and because I love you with an everlasting love, I drew you with cords. What cords? The cords of a man. He said, I'm going to throw out my lasso. I'm going to throw out the Holy Spirit. I'm going to sow out my Son. And there he is. He's going to get a hold of your heart. He's going to start drawing. He's going to start pulling. Oh, when God's eternal love is set on a soul, it'll never cease to be an eternal love. You know, when God passed by that infant cast out in his blood, he said it was the time of love. And nothing we did caused him to love us. And nothing we'll ever do will cause him to stop loving us. Huh? And then I want you to see this, Jeremiah 32. Jeremiah 32. You know, and I tell you what, we're confident because of God's eternal love, and we're confident because of a covenant of grace. You know what the covenant of grace is? The long and short of it, I want you to turn to Jeremiah 32:40. The long and short of it is, I'll be their God and they'll be my people. But look what it said here in verse 40. Jeremiah 32:40. And this, and I will do this, make an everlasting covenant with them. And here's the first thing he says about in this everlasting covenant. I'll not turn away from them. I will never turn away from them. I'll not turn away from doing them good. I'll not turn away from doing them good. And then look what else he says here. This is the second part of the covenant. And I'll put my fear in their hearts that they shall not depart from me. I'm not going to turn from them, and they ain't going to turn from me. Can you beat that? If that's the only thing we got out of this message today, that's enough for me. That's enough for me. Oh, boy. And then the last thing, we're confident not only of his eternal electing love, but because of the covenant of grace and because of our union with our Lord Jesus Christ. The Scriptures tells us that he's the head of the body and we are members of his body. Can he lose one member of his body and be perfect? He said a bone of his shall not be broken. And we have an interest in all that he did and all that he is. And all that he ever will be, we have an interest in him. Oh my. Now listen. Hold the beginning of your confidence. Hold it. Hold it. Hold it. Yeah, Paul told the Galatians, be ye steadfast, unmovable. Just don't move. Our Father, our Lord and our God, great and glorious is your name. Great and glorious is your wonderful grace. Great and glorious is your blessed Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, thank you for your gospel. Thank you for your grace. Thank you for your Son. Thank you for this salvation. God bless this gospel to the hearts of people today. Lord, bring glory to yourself through this message. Keep these dear saints till we can meet together this evening. We ask these things in Christ's name. Amen. There is a name I love to hear. I love to sing its word. It sounds like music in my ear. The sweetest name on earth. Why?
Because he first loved me.
I'll see you tonight, God willing.